Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, your host, and I'm really excited about our guest today. I have Taryn Gatrora with us. Bunny and Taryn Gatrora are sisters, and they are founders of Bloom. Bloom is the fastest growing and first ever cohesive line of personal care products for Gen Z girls as they grow through puberty. 60% of women say they feel their self-esteem plummeted when they went through puberty. Bloom aims to change this through educational content, community, and environmentally safe and effective products. It is my pleasure today to welcome Taryn to our show.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, so I am really excited to hear your story. So why don't you just jump right in, fill in some of the gaps from your bio, and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your sister and your journey and how Bloom came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Bloom and launched it June of 2016. And prior to that, we were working on a very similar business that helped us get here, basically. And I'll just backtrack a little bit. And how we got there was I was in law school in 2013, 2016, and I really wanted to do human rights law, and I wanted to help women. And while I was in the law library studying during my master's, when I was writing about women in developing countries actually missing school due to their periods, around the same time, I experienced a bit of my own kind of inconveniences around having my period and realized it was something that I wasn't comfortable talking about. And it was like very inconsequential compared to what people go through in many places where they don't actually have access to hygiene. But I realized that, you know, even in places like Canada and the United States, we still aren't comfortable talking about periods. And so that's kind of where the idea first stemmed from. And so I was getting all of these different subscription companies advertising to me on campus for snacks and razors and a lot of things that aren't necessarily a monthly need. And I was just daydreaming in a law library, wondering why there was no such business or delivery for pads and tampons. And then in researching that, I realized what was actually in mainstream brands. So mainstream pads and tampon brands are not required by the FDA to disclose the ingredients in them. So they can have a bleaching process. They have often pesticides used on the cotton, and like tampons go inside of us. So this is really horrifying and angering to hear. And so I called my sister with this idea, and she was on board right away. So we started to execute on it. And that's essentially what kind of led us to digging even deeper and seeing how much of a gap there was in sex ed and the entire product line you need going through puberty.
Well, that's great. And it certainly is a need for sure. So then do you guys, is this something that comes out on a regular basis? Like you compared this to shavers, like is it an automatically sent subscription type product or no?
So what happened after the subscription box was we gathered data every single month on the products that people liked and didn't like. And that actually led us to, and also just the gaps in their routine. So that led us to actually creating more products than just pads and tampons. So we have an all-natural acne treatment that actually works, natural deodorant formulated with probiotics, face wash, essential oil for period cramps. So we actually have a line of one-time shop products as well that most of our customers kind of discover us through. And then if you would like to customize and create a monthly subscription with those products, you could definitely do that.
Okay. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about how the business now has shaped your lifestyles.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as an entrepreneur, I think it is my lifestyle. It's very much, I don't really believe in balance. I feel like it's more of a flow, like a work-life flow. And so being that my sister is also my business partner, we spend a lot of our time together and we build our team together. And there isn't necessarily a stop to the end of the workday. But that being said, I feel like I've really learned to manage my energy. So I take breaks when I can. And like if we're sprinting and we have launches, then I might work, 14 hours a day. But if I have the ability to kind of slow down when my body tells me I need to, then I do that. So I feel like it's definitely just shaped my entire lifestyle, though.
That's great. It must be fun. Is it fun working with your sister?
It's really fun. Yeah.
That's great. So what do you feel, and maybe you can speak for her, speak for yourself, but what do you feel are two of your greatest skill sets that have really helped you to propel this business forward?
So my sister and I have very different skills, which is great. So it's actually super complementary, and it allows us to, from the day we started, tackle different aspects of the business. So I feel for her, she has a background in accounting, so she's much more financial. So she's able to build our financial models, deal with our shipping and logistics. I went to law school. My strength is in writing, marketing, storytelling, a lot of the creative, and then we both work together on the products. So yeah, I feel like we have very different skill sets. And then I think one thing that I am really proud of us both for is that we're both very gritty and relentless and like we don't give up. So I don't know if that's necessarily a skill, but it's definitely something that's helped us along the way.
I definitely think that that is a skill or an attribute that you develop into a skill. I guess that that is a good way to sort of quantify that. I think that some things come natural to people, but they don't identify that, like, this is something that really helps us. And so then you learn to expand on that. So it's interesting because, like, would you call that a skill? Just having that grit and tenacity and not giving up. And I think that there's a mindset in that, but then some people don't know how to carry that forward into making it a reality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a must. You have to kind of strengthen.
It kind of is. So I think that that's awesome that you sort of have identified that and you continue to work on that. I think that's great. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that you guys are really proud of, like something that's come out of happening in this journey with Bloom?
I mean, it's really rewarding how like hearing the way our customers have talked about the acne treatment and the impact it's had on their lives. Especially like the thing about Bloom is that where our mission is very much about helping girls and women feel confident in their bodies and also just be educated about their bodies. But acne is just something that, you know, no matter what age you're at, it can be very difficult to deal with. And even at a place where you're like, oh, I feel great about myself. And it's not all like, you know, if like I'm finally getting to a point where I can have acne and just be like, okay, I'm not even going to put makeup on this sometimes. Not always, but it depends. But it's something that universally a lot of our audience has struggled with and it has impacted their self-esteem. And so to hear people say that they use the acne treatment and it's the first thing that they've used that's all natural and affordable that actually clears their acne without damaging their skin feels really, really great. And they'll send us before and afters. And that's been super rewarding, I think. And then overall with the business, I think raising our last financing round was also just a massive accomplishment.
That is an accomplishment. That is not an easy task when you're kind of starting on this and learning your legs. And then how do you go get financing? And then there's so much that's required, information that they need and your business plan. And so that in itself, do you want to elaborate on that? Because I think a lot of people have no absolute clue on how to go about doing that.
So we raised $3.3 million in February. Mostly from venture capital firms in San Francisco and a few in New York. And how that process went, so I did most of the fundraising for Bloom. And I really ran it like a process. So I started to build out a pipeline in December, just kind of a couple hours a week off the side of my desk during work. And it was a bit of a pipeline, kind of like when you're doing a sales pipeline. So it would include who I wanted to reach, why I thought they would be interested in our business, and then anybody on my LinkedIn that was connected to them that might be able to introduce me. And then I prepared my intro requests. So obviously you want to be respectful of people's time and their introduction. So I tried to give as much information as possible and then ask, you know, if they could make the introduction for me and this is how much I was trying to raise, and just give them all the information they would need to make the intro very easy for them so that all they would have to do is hit the forward button for the intro request. And then as the introduction started to roll in to the investors that I wanted to connect with, I was able to book them all in my calendar in a condensed period of time. So I find that it's better to book them in a condensed period of time instead of spreading them all throughout the year, because then you'll have people in different processes of the funnel. So if someone's asking for your deck and then somebody else wants to see your financial model, your process kind of gets all over the place, and it's easier to be in the same part of the process with everybody, kind of like time batching. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we did it. And then throughout that process, like you said, there's a lot of due diligence, there's a lot of materials. Obviously, there's also a lot of questions. And I found that a lot of the time people had similar questions. So I tried to keep like a bank of Q&A. So it'd be very easy for me to, if they ask a question over email, just kind of send the response that way and not retype it every time. Or whether it was going to be verbal, I had some notes prepared. And then a lot of it is just like the numbers, which at that point, like I knew them inside out anyway. And kind of in the early stages, it's a lot about the vision and mission of the company and where you intend to go and the team as well.
Okay. So how about a challenge or maybe a situation that you guys worked through that was really tough? And people love to hear like stories, because then I think they feel like, oh, we're not alone. Other people went through that same thing. But was there a challenge or obstacle that you faced? And then how did you work through that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely obstacles every single day. And like, just when you think that, you know, you've crossed a really tough bridge, there's usually another one to kind of get to the next level. Or sometimes you end up back where something you thought that you had resolved. So there's obstacles every single day. I feel like one of the pivotal points in the business was around the same time of the fundraise, we also saw a really big spike in sales, which is great. But we were still actually fulfilling orders out of our house at the time. So within 2 months, we were suddenly doing 5,000 orders a month out of our parents' house. And our entire house was like covered in boxes, and UPS was at our house every day doing pickups. And it was really challenging to fulfill at that time and not have delays for our customers. And like for the first time, we did have delays, which was really stressful. And then also just navigating that shift to the 3PL and moving into an actual warehouse was, it's awesome now and it's the best thing we ever did, but it was like very tricky at the time to not have delays for our customers. That's the most important thing to us.
Great. So what does, this is always the one that's tricky for people, but what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I think for me, it's working from a place where what I'm doing for work is in alignment with my values. And I really believe it is with Bloom, because I feel like it allows me to make the impact that I want to in a far more scalable way than a lot of other things. And so for me, working for my happy place is being able to work towards a mission that I truly believe in on a regular basis.
Okay. So what advice would you give to others that are wanting to be entrepreneurs or that have an idea, and how do they even begin to make that idea into, so there's two questions here. One, what kind of advice do you have for people wanting to be entrepreneurs that have an idea and want to bring their idea to fruition? And then The other is, do you have words of advice for people that are in it? Like they're in their small business, maybe they're not really seeing that success yet, and things that you've learned along your journey. So why don't we go with the first part? Like people that have an idea and just want to really bring it to fruition, what kind of advice would you have?
Mm-hmm. So I think like for us, our idea or the actual idea for the company changed so much over the course of the last 3.5 years. So the business that we have today isn't necessarily the first idea that we had. And we wouldn't be here if we hadn't put it out to our customer base, to the world, and to the market to essentially help us create the solution that our customers needed. And I think that's really important is when you do have an idea, definitely you need to have conviction and belief in yourself, but you also need to have the flexibility to listen. And so as cliche as it sounds, I think you just need to start and put it out there. And that, like, you know, in Silicon Valley, they call it the MVP, your minimum viable product, mm-hmm. which is like a lean startup approach. And I really believe in that. Even for us being a consumer product, we definitely did research even before the launch of our first product, but we continued to talk to our customers and get on the phone with them and ask them questions to keep digging deeper, to find out how we could solve their problems for them better. And so I think that would be my advice if you're just starting out, is to just put it out there and just to continue to engage with whoever you're making this for, whether it's a business, like that's a service or a product or a tech company.
Okay. And how about like what pieces of advice would you have for people who are sort of in it and they just need to power on?
Yeah. So I think sometimes when you're so in it that you're not able to step back and actually view strategically, like sometimes as business owners, we get so in the doing and we aren't even able to pull back to plan the next 2 quarters. Or even just look at what's so different about our product, or you can just get into this like vicious cycle of being like sucked into the nitty gritty. And so I think sometimes if you're hitting a wall or you're in a slump, it's actually really helpful to just take a couple of days. I'm not a huge fan when people tell me to take a couple of days off if I'm stressed out, mm-hmm. but sometimes that is what you need, or you need to go get some inspiration or talk to a mentor or read a book. I find it really helpful to read books about like the Immutable Laws of Marketing or something just very inspirational that'll allow you to step back from the minute details of your business and like trying to hit those numbers and actually looking at the value that you're providing and the big impact that you're making on the world and like go back to your vision and make that vision bigger. And I think that can really help because as a small business, we need to make 10x strides, not necessarily incremental strides, to make the impact that we really want to. And so I find it helpful to just zoom out sometimes.
Very good. So what are some exciting things that you guys are working on that you think our listeners might benefit from? And also, how can people find you?
Yeah, so we do have a product launching this week, and it's one that's been really requested by our audience. So it's top secret right now, but we're going to do a drop on our Instagram this week. And in the fall, we have some really exciting news as well related to some retail announcements. So stay tuned for those. You can find us at bloom.com, BLUME.com, and on Instagram at meetbloom, and that's MEETBLUME.com.
Very good. Well, this has been delightful, and I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I think that there's a big, huge need around this. I know I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I just think that you're right. There is just a lot of issues with nobody really wanting to discuss it or having insecurity around it, and not to mention the struggles and challenges that third world countries have in regard to this particular subject. Now, do you guys are doing some type of outreach program for other countries, or kind of what are you doing in that regard?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. So we partner with Days for Girls. So every month we donate partial profits to them. And Days for Girls is an organization that provides period kits to girls in India, Africa, and Nepal that actually give them back days of school that they would miss, which is something that's really important to us. And then we also partner with them on various campaigns. So in May, we did a campaign for a menstrual hygiene day where we donated actually all profits from one of our products, which is Cloud9. I think as the company grows, there's a lot more that we want to do there. Just because it's like so important, and it's like one of the reasons we started Bloom, and that what we want to do more of is around both donating money but also education. And so that's something that we're working towards.
Very good. I know I've been with different conventions that I'll do, a lot of times they'll be working on creating kits and different things, you know, just making those up and sending them over, and I kind of participated in some of that. So I know that it is a real issue with, like you said, missing days of school, not having the proper products, and that it's a real problem. So that is fantastic. Thank you so much for being on our show today. And again, I want to encourage our listeners to subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. That way you will never miss a single episode. And if you like the interview, go in and leave us a review, because not only do I appreciate that as being the host, but our guests appreciate it as well. So thank you so much, Taryn, for taking the time today. And thank you for all that you and your sister are doing with Bloom.
Thank you so much. Have a great week, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.